Melissa Sedade, Research Associate at the Association of Catholic Colleges and Universities, the collective voice of Catholic higher education. Visit us on the web at www.accunet.org. Thank you for joining me. Fiona Buggy, an ACCU summer intern from the Washington, Ireland program, recently sat down with Father Charles Curry, president of the Association of Jesuit Colleges and Universities, a national organization of 28 Jesuit colleges and universities in the United States. Fiona is a 2008 graduate of University College Dublin with a Bachelor's of Arts in English Literature. Jesuit Father Charles Curry has been president of AJCU since 1997 and previously served as rector at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia and on the faculty of Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Fiona asked Father Curry to reflect on his career, his spiritual life, and the challenges and opportunities facing Catholic higher education.
Well, first question is, what were you doing when you were 21?
21. I was a Jesuit novice, just beginning the training to be a Jesuit.
And what was that like? What do you remember from being 21?
Oh, yeah. It was a different, this was 1951. So it was a very different world, a very different church. I enjoyed the novitiate. It was a great experience. We had 42 novices in my class. Today we're lucky if we get 4 or 5. And in the church, you had the old liturgy, devotions, many of which we don't have, at least they're not as prominent today. And I was a very happy camper, my first real introduction to Jesuit spirituality, and I found that very good. We had a very good novice. We had two novice masters, one for the first year, another for the second. And both of them were very different men, but both great inspiration. So it was a great year.
How did you get to where you are today?
A lot of things were kind of accidental. It was not a career. If you had asked me when I was 21, where would I be 50 years later, I probably would never have said I'd be sitting here. And I think that's true of most of us. I think the first key decision was to become a Jesuit, and then the kind of work that I got involved with as a Jesuit, higher education, that certainly puts you on a certain path. Then higher education administration, the fact that I had have worked in a number of different Jesuit universities in a number of different capacities made this job as head of an association of 28 colleges and universities, that made a lot more sense, and it gives me a lot of sensitivities in dealing with situations that maybe somebody else might not have just because I've been there, done that kind of thing. I've never, even with my vocation, it was not a highly intellectualized decision. I think it was, I just happened to be with a lot of young Jesuits whom I admired, and certain things, because the Holy Spirit's in there somewhere. But a lot of it would have been serendipitous. I never intended to get into administration. I was very happy to be teaching at Georgetown, and somebody asked me to go out to Wheeling in West Virginia. So it was a combination of serendipity and maybe some luck and accidental stuff.
What do you think is the biggest issue facing your institution today?
Well, my institution, the association, our identity is really depends on the 28 institutions that we serve. So as an association, the biggest issues are, you know, how can we best serve the institutions we both represent. And I see our role as very relational, representing the institutions to the Church, the Society of Jesus, the other higher education associations, Congress, the administration. So a representational role, but the role that I think is even more important is promoting collaboration, and we do an awful lot of that. So the challenge to us as an association is to do both of those things as well as we can, representing effectively and facilitating and encouraging as much collaboration as possible. As far as the institutions themselves, higher education is faced with a lot of problems today, a lot of challenges. The cost issue is a major one. There's a concern by the institutions themselves. There's a great demand to offer more and more services, but people are very wary about paying for those services, so they don't want the tuition to go up, but they want more and more services, which are very labor-intensive, typically, and so that's the institutions are in a bind. Because of the concern about costs, there has been a decline in respect for higher education. You know, you cost too much, and are you really producing what you say you produce? So that creates a challenging climate for higher education to be credible, to maintain respect and trust. And that's a constant battle today, because lots of folks have stirred up lots of mistrust. And so that's a big challenge. And for Catholic institutions or faith-based institutions, the big challenge is to maintain your identity in a very diverse, pluralistic world. That, I think we made a lot of progress in that regard. You know, some folks think we've lost our identity. I think that's nonsense. I think it's just a very difficult job. It's something that, you know, it's not as if there's an identity out there that you have nice, neatly packaged, and here it is or here it is not. But that identity has never existed in such a pluralistic world, and so it's something we're trying to create. And every institution is trying to do that their own way. Some are doing it better than others, but clearly it's happening. And of course, you have others, folks who think that Catholic identity is a very well-defined, neatly packaged reality, but I think you can only achieve that if you cut yourself off from a lot of these, what they would consider risky entrances into a very risky world. And I think, and a lot of my colleagues feel that that's how the Church influences society, not by withdrawing from that, but taking those risks and trying to transform what's bad and take advantage of what's good in that surrounding world.
Yeah. How do you balance your time with regards to your own liturgical life and the demands of your job? Is that difficult?
Well, yeah, that's interesting, Fiona. You know, some folks feel that in an administrative role like this in a higher education association, a priest, you know, has to kind of put aside his priesthood. I think that's nonsense. I don't think a day has gone by in my role in this job where I haven't been called upon to do something pastoral, sometimes many times in a day. And I still, I do too much traveling to have a regular Sunday liturgy, public liturgy, but I regularly celebrate liturgy over at Georgetown. I do a lot of weddings, unfortunately a number of funerals. So I'm very comfortable with my identity as a priest. At the same time, I'm operating in an environment, a lot of people say, you know, why is a priest doing that? I, I, and it might go back to Teilhard de Chardin. You know, he had this vision of what he called Christogenesis, all these things in the world coming together and forming Christ, relating to Christ. And I feel very comfortable with that. He had a great prayer, Mass on the World, where the host came from all the particles of human achievement and the wine from the drops of human suffering. Well, that's, I think we're all offering that kind of Mass all the time. So I don't see the dichotomy between being a priest and being head of an association.
My final question is, what advice would you give to a young university graduate?
I would say, first of all, keep a sense of hope. Hope in your power to make a difference. So many opportunities for you to do that. There's also a lot of difficulties ahead. There's, you know, one of the things people talk about today, it's possible that this generation may not achieve the same lifestyle as their parents. Well, I find that interesting because we were saying that back in 1970. I think the challenge is going to be to find out that you can be happier with a lesser lifestyle. I mean, the opportunities today with presented by globalization, the closeness, just the conversation we're having, probably wouldn't have done that 10 years ago. Or, you know, I've been on five continents. I never expected to do that. And with email, you can be talking to people in three or four different countries at once. And this is an extraordinary opportunity to learn, to grow, to learn about other people, other countries. And obviously, there are many great problems out there to deal with. You know, I've often thought, you know, the role of education is to develop your imagination. With your imagination, you create options for yourself. With those options, you have a sense of hope. So I think that progression is really, really important. The tragedy is a lot of folks don't get the education, so they don't have the imagination, don't have the options, so there's no hope. If you've had an education, then you have the tools to really make a difference in the world and to just grow in lots of different dimensions. And that's, I would say that about the church too. You know, there's the church has its problems today. It's had some major problems, but you know, the church is still young. There's still ways in which it can grow, and there are your generation is going to create a new church. That's great, and that's, I feel privileged that I lived before Vatican II, during Vatican II, and after Vatican II, and I've liked it all. You know, the aspects before that I liked, but I like today more. And think other things are going to change. And so that continual sense of creating, recreating, expanding yourself and increasing your ability to change the world. Same time you have that hope, you have to realize that a billion people are starving and poor. So that kind of gets you a little more interested in doing something to change that situation.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That's been great. Just been. You lived up to the said you'd be interested, and you were right.
If you'd like to learn more about Catholic higher education, visit us on the web at www.accunet.org. To suggest an interview topic or guest, or to offer feedback, send an email to research@accunet.org.